And for the reading of God's Word, 1 Peter chapter number 2 and verse number 21. We've been looking at the example of the Lord Jesus Christ, trying to get our eyes and our attention on Him that we may follow His steps. The Bible says for in verse 21, "For even hereunto were ye called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that ye should follow His steps." We see His conduct, for the Bible says, "Who did no sin." We see His conversation, for neither was guile found in His mouth. We see His contradiction of sinners, who when He was reviled, reviled not again. We see Him making Himself culpable because He accepted the suffering, for the Bible says, "When He suffered, He threatened not." We see His committal into verse 23, "But committed Himself to Him that judgeth righteously." And today we're going to look in verse number 24 at His cause. "Who His own self bare our sins in His own body on the tree, that we, being dead to sins, should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes ye were healed. For ye were as sheep going astray, but are now returned unto the Shepherd and Bishop of your souls." Lord, we thank You for Your Word, and I pray, dear God, that You'd illuminate our thought and our minds. You know, dear God, our insufficiency and our inability. But, dear God, we rely upon Thee today and ask You, dear God, to say through us that which needs to be said. And, dear Lord, that You'd hold back us from saying anything that need not be said. And, Lord, I pray, dear God, that Your Holy Spirit would do the work in each heart, that Jesus Christ might be glorified and magnified. And, dear God, that sinners might be saved and that believers might grow closer unto the Lord. And for what You do, we'll thank You in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. So we zero in on verse number 24 at the cause of the Lord Jesus Christ. For the Bible says, "Who His own self bare our sins in His own body on the tree, that we, being dead to sin, should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes ye were healed." The miracle of miracles is God becoming flesh, and He came to this earth and He died on the cross for the purpose of bearing your sin, of bearing our sin. Now, I probably could spend some time talking about sin a little bit, because I'm afraid a lot of people have lost their guilt before God. I'm afraid a lot of people have lost the sense of their transgression against the Lord. But may I remind you that He is a holy God that does not look over sin, but deals with sin, and sin offends God. Every lie you've told offended God. Every bad thought that you've ever had has offended God. Everything that you've done with your hands that God said not to do with your hands has offended God. Every place your feet have gone that you should not have gone there, that God said don't go there, it has offended God. Everything your eyes have beholden that God said don't look upon it, that has offended God. Everything your ears have listened to that God said don't listen to, that has offended God. And can I say, we have a God that is righteous and that is holy, and I'm afraid there's a whole lot more things that offend Him than we a lot of times give credit for, than what we recognize or that we pay attention to. But I'm glad if you understand the fear of the Lord, you understand the condemnation and the judgment of the Lord, you understand the severity of it, you understand the great importance and the great thrill that we have in our heart today, because we have one that came to bear our sins. And I thank God for that. The Bible says that He bore it in His body. He bore our sins in His body. Now, to think about that, about every sin that's ever been committed by you was done in your body. But he said, I'll become a man and I will take in my body the sins that have been committed in your body, the things you've done with your body that offended God. I'll take upon myself and I will bear that myself. Now, when we consider the crucifixion of the Lord Jesus Christ, if we were to go to Calvary today and we were to look upon him who they pierced, if we were to look upon the Lord Jesus Christ and see the one that hung there shamefully and that hung there before the world to see as he had been buffeted and scourged, and we'll talk about some of that later, and you consider all the things that was going on there with the natural eye, you would have seen a man that was being crucified with the nails in his hands and the nails in his feet. What happens is, as you consider this, you don't see with your eyes the iniquity that he bore that day. Little did that religious crowd, they didn't understand why he was on the cross. He could not have gone to that cross because he had greater power than the religious crowd, and then Pilate did, and the Roman government did. He could not have gone on that cross just on their will, but it was their will to put him on the cross. It was man's will to put him on the cross, but it was also God's will to put him on the cross, for it was God's will and God's plan that the Father might redeem you and I if he bore the sin of the world upon himself. And so when he bore that sin that day, what was not seen was him bearing your sin and bearing my sin. So the cross, when you consider it, that is the burden that was seen. But the iniquity was the burden that was unseen. And we think about this idea of a burden and bearing this sin. It's the idea of getting down up underneath the load and picking it up and carrying it. And you find it throughout Scripture, the idea of bearing sin. In Exodus chapter number 28 and verse number 36 through 38, we'll read the verses in just a moment. But we're going to find that Aaron bore the golden miter, where the insufficiency of the holy gifts that the people would bring would become acceptable unto the Lord. The Bible says this, and thou shalt make a plate of pure gold and grave upon it like the engravings of a signet, holiness to the Lord. And that's in all capital letters in your King James Bible. And thou shalt put in on it a blue lace that it may be upon the mitre. Upon the forefront of the mitre it shall be, and it shall be upon Aaron's forehead, that Aaron may bear the iniquity of the holy thing, which the children of Israel shall hallow in all their holy gifts. And it shall be always upon his forehead, that they may be accepted before the Lord. It's amazing all the attention that Israel gave to the sin problem. Because of them recognizing the sin problem that stood against them, because they understood the significance of the commandments of God, the Ten Commandments in particular, and the other things that he added to that, that God added to that, for them to understand their sinful state. Because they understood that sinful state, there were many sacrifices that they would bring to make atonement for their sin. But the truth is they're the blood of bulls and goats would never satisfy the law of God. But what they would do is bring these gifts, and there was the gifts that were brought to the house of God, not just the gifts of bringing the blood, but there was also gifts that were brought to the house of God, being the temple or the tabernacle, and then eventually would be the temple. And they would bring these gifts. And what the Lord told Aaron, he said, listen, he said, I want you to make this mitre that's going to go on your head. And here's the reason why I want you to do this. What's happening is these people are bringing their gifts unto me. But the gifts that they're bringing to me are not good enough. And the truth is they are insufficient. And it doesn't matter how much they try and how hard they try to make atonement for their sin, and every gift that they bring, it still does not come up to my standard. But he said this. He said, I want the high priest to wear this mitre, and it's a signet when it says holiness unto the Lord. So imagine the high priest, and what's written on that mitre, that golden mitre that was on his forehead, was holiness to the Lord. And so what happened was this. You'd bring your gift unto this high priest, and he would take that gift from you. But upon his forehead was written, holiness unto the Lord. And you realize what was in your hand was not good enough to bring to God. Hey, listen, it doesn't matter if your gift was of gold. Heaven's pavement is made of gold. The streets are pure gold. What are you going to bring to the Lord to bring anything that would satisfy His holiness and His greatness? And there was nothing that would be acceptable. Well, the Lord say, if they would recognize His holiness, if they recognize His greatness. And as that high priest stood there, the Lord said, I will accept what they bring to me. Can I tell you, my friend, when you came to the Lord, you brought your dirty, rotten vessel, but it was all that you had. You brought your sin and your iniquity, but it was all that you had. But you recognized that He was a holy God, that He was a worthy Lord, that He was everything He should be, and you had no reason to be accepted. But the Lord said, in my grace and my mercy, I will accept that which is insufficient. I will receive that which was not worthy, and I'll receive it of their hands. Aaron bore that. And it talks about this, calls it the iniquity of the holy things. Can I say my righteousness is filthy rags? But I'm so glad today that I have Christ's righteousness today, and any righteousness and anything that I would present to the Lord, that the Lord receives it and rewards it, and He is glorified by it. But it is all because of His grace and of His mercy. Also, you find that Aaron offered a bullock for himself and for his family because of their sin. And then he would take a goat and offer it for the children of Israel. But there was another goat that was known as the scapegoat. And this scapegoat would be known to bear the sins of the people. In Leviticus 16 and verse number 20, the Bible says, and when he had made an end of reconciling the holy place and the tabernacle of the congregation and the altar, he shall bring the live goat. So where we're at in Scripture, what we're reading here, Aaron has already killed a bullock for him and his family. Aaron has already killed a goat for the nation of Israel. And people brought things individually, but this was a corporate offering that was brought. So Aaron did it for his family, the bullock, and then for the children of Israel, the goat. But there's another goat, and this is the live goat. And he brings the live goat. And the Bible says, and Aaron shall lay both of his hands upon the head of the live goat and confess over him all the iniquities of the children of Israel, and all their transgressions, in all their sins, putting them upon the head of the goat. So what happens is he brings this live goat, and he puts his hands on there, and he confesses all the sins and the wickedness of Israel. Can you imagine that list? Can you imagine him having to sit down and making a list of all the iniquities and all the transgressions of the nation of Israel, everywhere that they had failed, and then to put his hands there and to go over and deliberately name each sin, and to, if I can put it this way, let that goat know exactly how wicked they were. Amen. Amen, this is what God told him to do. And so this goat was the significance, and the picture was here, is they were taking their sins and their iniquities and they were putting them on the head of the goat, figuratively speaking. So he, this goat, this live goat, was bearing their sins. And the Bible says, and shall send him away by the hand of a fit man into the wilderness. So what happened is they needed a fit man to do it. What does that mean? They needed a man that could handle the goat. They needed a man that could control the goat. They didn't need a spineless man. They needed a man that could handle this livestock. And they would take this goat, and that fit man would take this goat that had the transgressions of the children of Israel confessed unto it, and he would take it into the wilderness. And the Bible says, and the goat shall bear upon him all their iniquities unto a land not inhabited, and he shall let go the goat in the wilderness. What was this a picture of? Was that goat was bearing their sins, and he was taking him to a place as far away as he could get him, as far away from Israel as he could take that goat. He was wanting to make sure that to the best of his ability, that goat would never find his way back home. He'd never find the nation of Israel ever again. But no, he wanted those sins to be removed as far as he could get them away. And so that fit man took him as far out into the wilderness. It may have been a day's journey. It may have been a long journey. But he wanted that sins to be separated from the children of Israel. Oh, that God's people had such an attitude in their heart and in their mind and say, God, would you separate unto us, separate from us our sins. Amen. And so that was their desire. Now, when you step back and you think about this, somewhere in the wilderness, there's a goat that's running around on the hills that has the sins of Israel upon him. And now the fit man has done all he can do to make sure that he would be lost in the wilderness and that their sins, if I can put it this way, would be lost. But here's the problem, and we understand this is all a picture. But somewhere out there on their hills, their sins are still out there. Somewhere out there, their sins might just come back to haunt them. It might be a reckoning day one day that all of a sudden they see that goat walk back into the camp and be reminded of all the transgressions that were against them. But can I tell you, my friend, Jesus was one that he bore our sins. And when he bore our sins, the Bible says in Psalms 103 and verse number 12, as far as the east is from the west, so far hath he removed our transgressions from us. He said, hey, it's not just in the wilderness that you can go out and find it. He said, you got to go to the east as far as it is to the west. Now, my friend, if you want to start today, and you want to go and try to figure out where the sun finally sets, you want to go as far west as you can, you'll keep on traveling and traveling and traveling, and you'll never find the setting of the sun. You can go the other way and try to see where the sun comes from. You can go the other way to the east as far as you can to see where the sun comes from and where its abode is, where it gets up. But my friend, it doesn't matter how far you travel, you're not going to find that place. Because my friend, when Jesus took our sin and he took our iniquity, he went and removed them as far as the east is from the west. Can I tell you, they're not on the hill somewhere on the back of a goat frolicking here and there, but my sins have been borne far away where I'll never see them again because of what Jesus did for me. John 1:29, the next day John sees Jesus coming unto him and saith, behold the Lamb of God which taketh away the sin of the world. My friend, my sin has been born in his body. Now I want to touch on this. There's a danger of trying to bear your own sins. To bear your own sins. You say, preacher, what does that mean to bear own sins? We don't even think about that, do we? Can I say, if you're not saved today, you're bearing your own sin. Bearing one's sin is when you reject God's righteousness and go after your own righteousness. And there's so many people that are going about life their own way. They don't recognize the righteousness of God. They don't recognize the holiness of God. And they've gone about to establish their own righteousness. My friend, if you are such an individual, you bear your own sin. The Bible says in Leviticus 22:9, they shall therefore keep mine ordinances. Now, when you think about an ordinance, that's what God says, I want you to do this. It's something that I'm telling you to do, but it's not a part of my commandment. It's an extension from my commandments. You have city ordinances. When we talk about city ordinances, those are things, this is how it's supposed to be done. This is our plan. This is our goal. But when God makes an ordinance, disobedience to God's ordinance is sin. Disobedience to God's ordinance is sin. When I look at my children, there's transgressions and there's things that they can commit against me that you would all agree that, okay, that right there is wrong. But there are some things that I, as daddy, have said, all right, this is the way it's going to be around here, and this is, if you want to call it, an ordinance that is there that you might not understand that ordinance because you're not my child. But if my children do not follow the ordinances that I put in my home, then they have still transgressed against me. I'll tell you what's happened in the days that we live in. People have tried to isolate God's commands to what He puts in black and white and neglect His ordinances. My friend, if God made an ordinance, He wasn't doing it on a whim. If God made an ordinance, it was something that He expected to be observed and to pay attention to, and to transgress that ordinance is a sin. And so He says, go back to our text in 22:9 of Leviticus, they shall therefore keep mine ordinance, lest they bear sin for it and die therefore. If they profane it, I, the Lord, do sanctify them. What happens is the Lord says, the reason why I give you ordinances is because I want to sanctify you. The reason why when you come to church, there's some things that are preached on at the house of God that you all of a sudden you scratch your head about and say, I don't know about that. That's an ordinance. Why is that an ordinance and why is that important? Because it's a part of the whole counsel of God that God has given to us. I can give you illustration after illustration. Hey, listen, the Bible says thou shalt not commit adultery. That is the law. That is the command of God. But there's an ordinance that I have. There's an ordinance. I don't ride around in vehicles with women that are not my wife by myself. Now, am I sinning if I'm in the vehicle with a woman other than my wife? I'll say this. I believe that Sweet Home Baptist Church would hold me accountable to that, but there's not anywhere in the Bible that says you cannot ride in a Ford pickup with another woman besides your wife. But you don't have a problem with that one. But there's other ordinances that we understand from God's Word. We say, all right, this is what God's Word says. And to implement this is what we're going to do. And when you consider that, that is part of sin. Just as real as for me to do that would be a sin against Sweet Home Baptist Church for me to not make sure my testimony is what it should be. Amen? That's an ordinance. And how important is it for people to understand the ordinances of God still matter? People want to say, I haven't done this and I haven't done that. No, there are some things that you violated God's command and you can't bear your own sin. You need Christ. There's another thing when he talked about not only the ordinances, but he dealt with it when it came to the ordained. Numbers 18:22. Neither must the children of Israel henceforth come nigh the tabernacle of the congregation, lest they bear sin and die. If you look in Numbers 18, the context of the verses is that God ordained the Levites to do His work. And anybody that imposed upon the work that the Levites were going to do and imposed upon it on their own free will, God said they'll bear their own sin and that they will die. In the New Testament age, we don't have Levites, but God still ordains men. He still ordains authority to go and to preach the Word of God, to direct and to guide and to do all those things. And what happens is we live in a day where people do not respect the authority. They do not follow the authority that God has placed in their life. And can I tell you, not following the authority that God places in your life is sin. Amen. Authority is important. We live in a day where people don't want ordinances. They don't want ordained authority. But where does that order? You say, preacher, well, who makes the choice? Can I say it's according to the people of God? It's the house of God. It's the ordination of the men of God. And that continues on. It's continued on for all these many years. Why? Because God honors His church and God honors His men. And that's the New Testament day that we live in. It's not the Levites, but God still has respect for the ordained. How dangerous is that? Hey, listen, we live in a day of rebellion and anarchy. What is the whole premise of most of our society is a rebellion in any way that they can. My friend, there may be areas where I have a devotion, I have a commitment and a submission to God, and because of my submission to God, it causes me to have rebellion against wickedness. But understand this, any rebellion that I have is rooted in submission because I know who my God is, I know who my Lord is, and because I know who my God is and my Lord is and what His Word says, then I go with Him. And if you want to buck that, then I'm going to rebel against the other ideas. Amen. But that's not the way this generation is. This generation is rebellious of anything that comes from God, and they'll wrap their arms around anything that is outside of God. And they've rejected Jesus Christ, and because of that, they've rejected God's righteousness. How do you know God's righteousness? There's only one way to know God's righteousness. It's through Jesus. The only way you're saved, the only way you come nigh to God is through Jesus. But my friend, before you're going to get Jesus' righteousness, before you're going to get God's righteousness imputed in your life, you're going to have to agree that God is right and that man is wrong. You're going to have to agree that God is right in every area and we are the sinners and He is the Savior, that He is the God of gods, He's the Lord of lords and the King of kings. But then this leads us right in this thought, and that is the inability to bear your own sin. In Psalms 38, the psalmist says in verse number 4, "For mine iniquities are gone over mine head as a heavy burden. They are too heavy for me." Can I tell you, you may try to bear your own sin, but you can't do it. Hey, you can try to define your own sin. But you can't even define what sin is. No, it's God that defines what sin is. It's God that defines what is right and wrong. And He is the one that defines it. And when He defines it, you're going to find out that you are unable to bear the consequences and the depravity of your sin. You have no ability. It's too heavy for you. It's too heavy for me. But I'm glad there's one that can bear your sin, that His arms are strong enough to handle your sin. The Bible says in Isaiah 53, verse number 4, we see His ability to bear your sin. "Surely He hath borne our griefs, and He's carried our sorrows. Yet we did esteem Him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. But He was wounded for our transgression. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon Him, and with His stripes we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way. And the Lord hath laid on Him the iniquity of us all." The God of heaven took your iniquity that you couldn't even get off yourself and put it on Jesus Christ. The Bible says in verse number 11, He shall see of the travail of his soul and shall be satisfied. By his knowledge shall my righteous servant justify many, for he shall bear their iniquities. May I remind you what that word iniquity is? That word iniquity is the opposite of what we call integrity. Integrity is the fact that you have something inside of you that causes you to do right. But there's something inside of you, my friend, called iniquity that causes you to do wrong. Hey, a lot of times you just take it for granted. But can I tell you, we were born in iniquity. We came in this world with iniquity in our lives, and there was sin that was there. But when he went to Calvary, he bore my very sin nature. I'm glad he bore the consequences of your sin. The Bible says in Matthew 8, verse number 16, when the even was come, they brought unto him many that were possessed with devils. And he cast out the spirits with his word and healed all that were sick, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by Isaiah the prophet, saying, himself took our infirmities and bare our sicknesses. You say, preacher, is this divine healing? Can I tell you, God can heal anybody, any place. He has the ability to do that. But you think about this. Why do people get sick? Why do people deal with the physical infirmities? Why is your body falling apart? Why do you deal with the issues of the body? It's because you got a dying problem, and it's because of sin. But Jesus came. And when I consider this, so often we pray for these that are sick. We pray for these that need God to touch their lives and to heal them. But you step back and you think about this for just a moment. The reason why that sickness is upon them is because of sin. It's because of sin. Now, it's not because they committed a particular sin. It's because they were born into sin. They are sinners. That's the reason why we deal with the issues of life, is because of sin. And when I'm praying for the Lord to touch that individual and to heal them, I'm saying, Lord, the consequences of their sin, the result of their sin, because of what you did on Calvary, would you go and touch them and touch that physical body and reverse that which has come against them in that way? Boy, that'll change your prayer life, won't it? Why? So often we're just thinking, so many people come to God asking for this person to be prayed for, and it's sort of a goodwill. Oh, we're praying for you. We're praying for you. And you ain't spent 5 minutes praying for them. You ain't spent an hour praying for them. You ain't spent 2 hours. No, it was just a thought that crossed your mind, and we just say, I'm praying for you. You sound real good, but the truth is that's the reason why God doesn't work as much as we would like to see him work, because we haven't been serious to understand the gravity that's behind it. The truth is every one of us deserve to be in hell. Every one of us deserve to go through a lifetime of ailments and all the different things. But I'm telling you, the only thing that's going to make the difference is the grace and the mercy of God, because of his power of him going to Calvary. My friend, can I put it this way? If he hadn't gone to Calvary, there'd be no hope for man to be healed of his infirmities. There'd be no hope, but he went to Calvary, and he's got the power to reverse the course of sin in our life. I'm glad that when he bore our sin in his body, that it was not just for a select few, but it was for many. The Bible says, Hebrews 9:28, so Christ was once offered to bear the sins of many. And unto them that look for him shall he appear the second time without sin unto salvation. My friend, it's not just a select few. It's not just this one or that one. But my friend, it is to everyone that will come. He bore your sin. Before you even knew that you were a sinner, before you knew what sin was, he bore your sin. Hey, listen to me, little one, young one that's here today, and you're getting that age, and you're beginning to understand what a sinner you were. sinner or sinner you are, can I tell you, before you were ever born, before you ever came to this world, there was a one that went to Calvary and laid his life down and bore your sin. Hey, listen, young'un, that lie that you told to mom and dad, there was one that went to Calvary and he went and he died and he was buried and he rose again. Why? Because he went and paid the debt for that lie that you told mom and dad, for that little piece of candy that you went and took that wasn't yours, for that disobedience that you disobeyed in this way or that way and sinned against Almighty God. Can I say he went to Calvary and he laid his life down to bear that sin for every man, woman, boy, and girl. Thank God he bore our sin in his body. That's point number one. I got two other points. Amen. I'm glad that he bore my sin in his own body. When I look at our bodies, they're falling apart. They're corrupt. It doesn't matter how much love I would try to muster up to try to help you with your sin problem. The problem is I can't help you. I can't take your sin from you. Listen, sinner friend, that you're here today lost without God. If I could save you from your sin, I would, but I can't, because I'm just like you are. I'm just like you are, just a sinner. But when Jesus took his body and went to Calvary, his body was able to get under that load and to take that sin upon himself. And I don't know, and I can't explain how he did it. I just know that's what the Bible tells me. And you realize that when it happened, that it was God that laid your sin on his son. You said, preacher, well, if God's already done it, then what do I have to do? You have to agree to let Christ take that sin upon himself. Now listen to me, and I don't have time to get into all the rest of this. Well, let me read the verse. The Bible says back in our text, who his own self bare our sins in his own body on the tree, that we, being dead to sins, should live under righteousness, by whose stripes you were healed. Now here's the reality of the context of that. For you to come to Christ and to put your sin upon him, it's not a thing that you're going to go back out there and keep on living the way you're living. For the drunkard here, he has to give up his drinking. For the whoremonger that's here, they got to give up their loose living. For the liar that's here, they got to give up their lying. Amen. You say, preacher, I don't know if I can do that. You can't. Because you are a liar, you are a drunkard, and you are a whoremonger, and we could go on and on with all the other sins that are out there. You can't get rid of it. But if you'll come to Jesus and you'll come to the Father, he's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. And if you'll just simply agree with God that that sin is sin and that your sin offends God, and allow Jesus Christ to take that sin, then you can be saved today. To cast it upon him. And that's what that significance of that goat was they understood that that goat couldn't bear their sins. But I'm telling you, there is one that can bear your sins. And it was the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. But my friend, somebody that understands the significance of that will not continue in sin. No, my friend, there's something that changes in that heart and they become a new creature in Christ Jesus. Let's stand, Lord. We thank you, dear God, for the grace and the mercy.